The NFL draft is a week away. And is there drama regarding the Tennessee Titans and their first round pick or not? It seems obvious. I mean, we've said the name repeatedly on this show in recent weeks, Joe Alt. And as we start this episode of Believe in Titans with John Glennon of the Nashville Post. John, how are you?
I'm well. How are you, sir?
I am good. I'm David Beauclair of the Nashville Banner. As we start this episode of Believe in Titans, the question I think in maybe every Titans fan's minds is there anything that would make the Titans not pick Joe Alt if he is available at number 7? And that question, or some version of that question, was posed to former NFL executive Mark Dominic on a conference call this week. And Mark Dominic said, yes, there is, in fact, a scenario, and it's a highly likely scenario. He said if Georgia tight end Brock Bowers is available, that the Titans would draft him and put off taking a tackle until the second round, which would be pick number 38 overall. So I ask you, John Glennon, do you think that's possible? Does Mark Dominic's theory make sense to you?
It does make sense. You know, I'll say it's a tempting route. I think it's one certainly that's worthy of consideration. You can make a worthwhile argument for it. Because, you know, basically what it boils down to in the mind of Mark Dominic and you know, probably others as well have suggested this too. This is a draft that's very deep in tackles, especially high quality tackles in the early few rounds. So what Mark Dominic's line of thinking is, hey, I don't necessarily have to take that tackle to fill my glaring need at left tackle right away. What about getting a real difference maker in the offense in Brock Bowers, the great Georgia tight end, certainly head and shoulders above everyone else, tight end in the draft, get him at number 7, then circle back at number 38, and get that tackle there. And there are, you know, certainly going to be some quality tackles, I think, that are going to be very much available there. You know, he mentioned some. You know, Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma, Jordan Morgan from Arizona, Patrick Paul from Houston is another one. The BYU guy, Kingsley Suamataya, I'm no doubt butchering his name. Even some other guys that are kind of forecast later in the second. Roger Rosengarten from Washington, Brandon Clemens from TCU. All these guys are probably second round potential picks that the Titans could go in that direction. And what Dominic is saying, hey, look at the combination that gives you. Then you've got this great difference-making tight end. What an addition to the offense he would be. And you still have a guy that you could probably, you know, and he kind of phrased it as probably feel good about putting out there at left tackle in week one. So, yeah, it's tempting. But the more you think about it, then sure, you know, some of these guys that go later in the draft in the second round, there, some of the guys that we just mentioned potentially could be guys that you could throw out there as a starter in week one at left tackle. But I don't, you know, from all the evaluations and all the scouting reports that we've seen and heard, I don't think there is that lock to jump in, plug and play, start at left tackle like there is with Joe Alt. And that, as we all know, is a critical position at left tackle. It was a turnstile last year. It's been a turnstile for the last couple of years. And the quarterbacks have paid a price. The Titans quarterbacks have paid a price. So, you know, I guess it comes down to maybe if you feel like Joe Alt is head and shoulders above those other tackle prospects, my kind of sense is I feel like he is, I just have a hard time passing on him, a guy who could lock down that position, doesn't seem to have any, you know, red flags, weaknesses there. And I just find it hard to pass on them. That also, I look at some of those other tackles, and a lot of them, you know, they're very good, maybe, except Oh, he have to move him from right tackle to left tackle. Oh, there's that. Or oh, he's a little bit more of a run blocker than a pass blocker, or vice versa. You know, there seems to be a little nitpick about each of them where you don't really get that sense about Alt. And then finally, you know, I guess you'd have to decide too how desperate are you for you know, a tight end like Bowers? You know, is your room that desperate for a tight end? Even one that would be a very big difference maker like him, that you would be willing to pass up what appears to be a lock at left tackle. So my final decision on that is no. I will say again, it's a tempting proposition. It's a worthwhile argument. I could see the strategy, but in the end, sticking with the real deal, which seems to be Joe Alt.
Yeah, you used the term head and shoulders above, and I've actually thought about this from time to time in the last couple of weeks, specifically with Brock Bowers, because there is something to be said for the notion that if you can get the guy who is clearly the best player at his position, and say we're rating these guys on a scale of 1 to 10. If Brock Bowers is a 9 and there's no other tight end who's better than a 6.3, that's significant. Whereas maybe Joe Alt's a 9.5 and you've got a couple 8.7s and some 8.5s, you can make that argument. And I think if you're the Titans, you can also make the argument from the perspective, we've talked about wide receiver depth. Behind Ridley and Hopkins, you've got question marks in Burks and Kyle Phillips. You've got good but never going to be great in Nick Westbrook-Ikhina. You don't have game breakers. So we've seen what Brian Callahan has done the last few years with three bona fide targets in Cincinnati when you're talking about Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, and Tyler Boyd. This would be another way to get you that third bona fide receiving target, and it's just a little bit of different look, but Bowers would be a guy who'd be lining up in the slot, and if Brian Callahan is hell bent on replicating the offense that he had in Cincinnati, that could legitimately be a way to go. But I kind of come back to same way you did. You look at this. I do think Joe Alt is the best left tackle. So if he's not head and shoulders better than everybody else, okay, but he's still the best guy. And this offensive line is in such need of stability. You seem to have found a winner in Peter Skoronski. You can lock in the left side of your line for the next 8 to 10 years potentially if you get the right guy at left tackle in this draft. So it's almost I'll go to if people know the term Occam's razor. It says basically, the most obvious answer is almost always the right answer, and Joe Alt is the most obvious answer here. If they do go Brock Bowers or somewhere else and aim for a tackle in the second round, let's remind everybody, Michael Roos was an early second round pick for this franchise and turned out to be a pretty darn good tackle for a long time. So it is possible to find that position there, but it just seems too simple and too obvious that you go left tackle, you go Joe Alt. I mean, the only thing that would make him not available, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, the Chargers are the only thing you have to worry about if you're targeting Joe, if you're the Titans, you're targeting Joe Alt, yes?
I think so. You know, we know that Jim Harbaugh is coming in there, and we know his background is certainly like a very physical, pound him kind of a coach, and you know, you're kind of maybe making a statement if you take Joe Alt. But you look at the Chargers lineup, they've got a pretty good starting left tackle in Rashawn Slater. You know, so are you really going to make Joe Alt your first pick when you know you've got that position pretty solid tackle right there right now? So yeah, I think he will be available. You know, two maybe a couple other things to factor in when you're considering this decision also, that Mark Dominic brought up. One of them is that if you really think you need a big help in the tight end, which he seems to feel like the Titans do, keep in mind that this is not really considered a very deep draft in tight ends. So his thought was, look, it is a deep draft in tackle, where you're likely to be able to get somebody in round two. Really, at tight end, there's probably only a couple high picks on the tight ends, the kid from Texas, Sanders, and Brock Bowers. So, if you whiff there, you're not in good shape, at the tight end spot. But my thinking too, and I sort of touched on this earlier, some of those guys that he mentioned, some of those potential second round tackles, like for instance, Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma, I think has played primarily, if not all, right tackle, I believe, in college. I'll double check myself on that. And obviously the thinking would be, okay, we can move him over to left tackle, which is understandable. But what if that takes a while? What if it takes longer than you think it did? What if he never really feels comfortable at left tackle? Where are you then at that point, for opening week of the season? Is Nicholas Petit-Frere your starting left tackle for week one at that point? That's not a situation I don't think that the Titans want to encounter. And to me, that's even more reason to stick with all, because as best we can tell, from all the reports and analyses that we're hearing and seeing, it sounds like Ault is the most likely plug and play left tackle, critical position, protect your passer.
One thing that I think Titans fans can feel good about just in general going into this draft is number seven overall seems to be a fairly sweet spot, historically speaking, in terms of the draft, because in the first few picks, teams are going to be reaching for quarterbacks, and that's when you get an Akili Smith taken or a Ryan Leaf taken or some of these where teams are, or even Marcus Mariota for the Titans in 2014, who. I don't want to rag on Marcus. He's a good quarterback, but I don't think he was, lived up to his draft positioning. But seven seems to be a spot where, you can sort of take the best player or the best player that you need and feel pretty good about it. The Titans have released their pre-draft guide and have some interesting nuggets about the number seven spot there, including some of the recent number seven overall picks. Penei Sewell in Detroit, who's doing quite well, thank you. Derrick Brown from Carolina. Josh Allen, the quarterback. Or excuse me, the outside linebacker Josh Allen for Jacksonville, and the other Josh Allen, the quarterback for Buffalo, in consecutive years there, 2018 and 2019. DeForest Buckner, wide receiver Mike Evans. You can go back to 2007, running back Adrian Peterson. They're sort of it's sort of like if you've got a particular need there, there's a good chance you will find it. And over the last 57 years, the Titans say 26 of the number seven overall picks, or 45.6%, have made at least one Pro Bowl. So there is reason to think that you can do well sitting there, because that's the other question. If Joe Ault is off the board, I think that's the immediate question that's going to come up to people is, well, are the Titans going to trade back now and try and get an extra pick and take their tackle wherever else? I think you probably want to stay there, because if it's not all and even if it's not Bowers, then one of the wide receivers is going to be there or somebody. But as I say that, our man Mark Dominic too said that he classified wide receiver as a luxury pick for the Titans, who, as we've said, do not have a ton of picks in this draft. And in fact, we should note they have one fewer pick than they did at this time last week, because they made a trade with Cleveland and acquired a backup, seemingly a backup tackle, a gentleman named Leroy Watson, but a guy their offensive line coach Bill Callahan has some familiarity with and presumably likes for a particular role. But Mark Dominic said he does not expect the Titans to pick a wide receiver at any point in this draft. Does that seem logical to you, John, or do you think wide receiver has to be in the mix at some point?
I kind of agree with part of what Dominic said in the fact that he calls it a luxury pick for the Titans. I really kind of think so too. That's why I sort of tend to steer clear of the potential of taking one of the wide receivers at number seven. Why did you go out and get Calvin Ridley for 4 years at $92 million? Why do you have DeAndre Hopkins, one of the best receivers in the game, right now? Treylon Burks is a question mark. Has not lived up, obviously, to where he should be, but he hasn't failed yet, I don't believe. I think there's still hope for Treylon Burks. And Kyle Phillips probably to a lesser extent has that same question mark to him. Could potentially still pan out. Hasn't done so yet. So, I just don't see. If you're taking a wide receiver high, I don't see in year one him getting a ton of targets. I mean, obviously, unless you're taking, Marvin Harrison or whoever, you're going to find a way. But I don't see him getting a ton of targets and catches right away. And my thought is if he's not going to get a ton of targets and catches this year. And you're kind of saying, well, wait until DeAndre Hopkins moves on. Well, there's probably going to be a ton of wide receivers available next year, too. I mean, that's the way the drafts have been going, the past, what, decade or more, that, the way the college game is going, everybody's throwing. Wide receivers, pretty much year in and year out, it's a deep class in the draft. So I say, it's not a high priority for me this year. Let it go if you have to. In the mock draft I did for the post a couple weeks ago, I went with a slot guy, really one of the best slot guys, Malik Washington from my alum UVA. I'm a homer on this pick, but I think he's really, really good, great athlete, and he had incredible production on a bad team. But he's a slot guy. I think he would fill a nice role that Kyle Phillips hasn't done so far. And if Hopkins and Ridley are getting all kinds of attention on the outside, I think it could really open things up for a really good slot receiver. And I think I had him in either the fourth or the fifth round getting picked. But yeah, that's kind of the way I see it. I do think it is a bit of a luxury at this point. I think if the Titans don't get another stud receiver, that's okay. Odds are there's going to be another one next year, and they'll have more of a role for him at that point, more of an opportunity.
I would agree with you, except that Rand Carthen's not the guy who drafted Treylon Burks and Kyle Phillips. And to me, the chance that he looks at both of those guys, or even one of those guys, and thinks, there's a lot there. That I believe in that guy. I think it's easy for him to look at the players he inherited, and Burks's best moments for the most part were in his rookie season. Carthen didn't even see him, I don't think, at his best this past season. So I think he probably feels like there's less in the can there than even a lot of us who have watched this thing for years think. And then I go back to 1998 in the Minnesota Vikings when they had Chris Carter and Jake Reed and drafted Randy Moss in the first round, and people said, well, they don't need Randy Moss, but they played with a lot of three wide receivers. Well, there's a whole lot more of three wide offenses in the NFL now than there was in 1998. I don't think there's anything wrong with getting another wide receiver to plug in with Hopkins and Ridley, who both, oh, by the way, are or will be in their 30s by the time the season starts. And I'll also reference for that purpose then 2016, when the Titans trade for DeMarco Murray early in the offseason and then pick Derrick Henry in the second round of the draft. And everybody's like, what are you doing picking Derrick Henry? And DeMarco Murray led the AFC in rushing in 2016, but from this side of Derrick Henry's time in Titans, or his time with the Titans, we all look at it and say, what took them so long to get Derrick Henry, more involved. It's if it's a guy who can flat out play, then it's a guy who can flat out play, and he is going to be on the field. And finally, Brian Callahan is on the record saying, all things being equal, he'll take a guy who scores touchdowns over one who doesn't. So I think, I still think wide receiver is actually a possibility at number seven, depending on how things shake out. If particularly say if Ault is not there, it's it, yes, I think yes in terms of what the Titans have on their roster, it looks like a luxury, and they do have areas of bigger need, but you can't have enough wide receivers in this day and age. And if they do draft somebody and feel like, okay, there is somebody out there who really likes Treylon Burks, I'll trade him away. You can do that. You can make those sorts of moves too. So we'll see what happens. We're talking a lot about offensive picks here. We've talked about the potential of tackles and tight ends and wide receivers now. Shifting to the defensive side of the ball, the Titans were right in the middle of the sack pack last year in terms of sacks, John, with 45. A quarter of those, effectively, just over a quarter of those, 11 and a half to be exact, came from the person of DeNico Autry, who is now with the Texans. They gave big money to Bud Dupree a couple years ago. That didn't work out. They gave big money to Harold Landry the year after that. He's missed 1 year with an injury. Last year presumably was his build back year. Theoretically, he'll be better this year, but how big a need is edge rusher for the Titans going into this thing, and how early should they be thinking about making that pick if that's where they're going?
The more I look at it, to me, the higher priority I see edge rusher. It's not one that immediately jumps out to me. Because you look at Landry and you look at Key as starters. But I think there certainly has to be depth there. And let's face it, and I think Landry certainly rounded into kind of that Pro Bowl-ish form, or close to it anyway, by the end of last year. Wound up 10 and a half sacks, 14 tackles for loss. Whereas Key was a little bit the opposite side of things. To me, he looked, he really flashed in training camp, which, sparked a lot of expectations. And then maybe you look back and say, well, he was playing against the Titans tackles in training camp. Maybe that's why the expectations, got to be so high. But he got up to a quick start. I think that opener against the Saints game, he was really good, and he played well early. But he only wound up, six sacks is okay, and four tackles for loss, kind of so-so, not bad year. And then you kind of wonder, what sort of happened to Rashad Weaver, last
I
year?
was
Like,
gonna bring that up, yes.
I mean, well, the first thing I guess you look at is the snaps, were, a huge drop. He was 640 snaps in 2022. That's when he had five and a half sacks, 15, I think, quarterback hits. Then he drops 400 snaps. He went down to 240 last year. And I think, probably part of that was injury, but, probably part of that is Arden Key coming in. But, you have to say some of that is Rashad Weaver not earning enough trust from the coaches, and not doing well enough when they watch him to warrant more snaps. So, kind of to me, he went from being like, oh, look, here's a guy who is about to take a big step, to now I look at him last year again, zero sacks, very little production in not a lot of time. And you kind of think he doesn't really seem to be part of the future much at all, barring a drastic change. So that, again, to me, increases priority you need for an edge. And when you figure what, DeNico Autry did, as you mentioned, both in inside and outside, and he's no longer there. So, I would certainly be comfortable, potentially. I talked last week about Darius Robinson, from Missouri, who's kind of like that DeNico Autry type player, going in the second round, maybe to the Titans. I'd be comfortable with that. And certainly, with the fourth round for the Titans, I could see them going with an edge type guy there. To me, I don't. After left tackle, there aren't needs I see that are hugely above one another. So edge is right there in terms in my mind anyway of high priority for the Titans.
Yeah, there are plenty of areas of need, but yeah, how do you prioritize them? I agree. I would think if you showed 10 different people, you'd probably get 7 or 8 different rankings of priority there. I think Rashad Weaver certainly in 2022, played out of necessity with Harold Landry being hurt, and 5.5 sacks that year, and you felt like, okay, and here again, I go back to the fact that he's not a guy Rand Carthen drafted. And to your point, if coaches didn't see enough to put him, to find excuses to put him on the field last year, and then when he was on the field, no sacks, the production wasn't there. Rand Carthen watched practice film every day, I'm sure, watched the practices, watched these games. I don't think he probably has any real allegiance to Rashad Weaver either. So he probably sees a big gap in the roster behind Landry and Arden Key right now that needs to be filled. And again, we talk about this. The Titans have plenty of needs. They have 7 picks right now in this draft, one in the first round, one in the second round, fourth, fifth, sixth, and two in the seventh. So they don't have a ton. There's no way they're going to be filling every need they have coming out of this thing. They're going to throw some bodies at some things, and you're hoping that you find a sixth or a seventh round pick who is a Courtland Finnegan, for example, or something like that. But it's they're going to have more work to do, I think, between the end of next week and the start of training camp to get this roster in some kind of shape. But that's what happens. As we move to the end of this thing, we would be remiss if we didn't we did mention that the Titans added a tackle in Leroy Watson from Cleveland, played just a handful of snaps last year, but again, a guy Bill Callahan knows, obviously likes him enough that it feels like there's something there. But somebody else who found work this week, I'm sure Titans fans are happy to see elsewhere. Andre Dillard, a guy we have beat on a fair share here, and I mean I hate to say it, but rightfully so. Not that he will not go down as the best signing, I think we can agree, of the Rand Carthen era. Here is headed to the Green Bay Packers. Nothing like being a first round draft pick, I guess, John, to make sure you keep getting chances in this league, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you just wonder, how a GM, any GM is thinking about how we got to add a little depth at tackle. Let me click on some film of this guy who was a first round draft pick, and how any GM says, yeah, that's the guy that I want. I got to have this guy. I mean, 12 sacks. Tied for the most of any lineman last year, despite the fact he only started 10 games. And sacks doesn't tell the whole story in terms of hurries and quarterback hits and so forth as well. He was a complete failure to the expectations that were caused by a 3-year, $29 million deal. And you just wonder, maybe again, like you say, somebody out there, and apparently Green Bay is saying, well, there's first round talent there somewhere if someone can dig it out, and maybe Green Bay is the time, or excuse me, is the team that can dig it out. But what I was think is a little humorous too. We've seen some bad tackles the last few years in Titans land. There's no doubt about it. Dillard is one of them. Now signs with Green Bay. But you look at some of the other guys too. That you figure left Tennessee and might never play again, and got contracts and they're still playing. Dennis Daly, who was another turnstile, is still has another year. Played last year in Arizona, has another year left on his contract in Arizona. And the famed, let's not forget, Kendall Lamb, put
Oh.
on a few virtuoso performances here in 2021. He was in Miami last year, played 17 games, 8 starts, 7 at left tackle, which is mind-blowing. So, maybe the Titans just have it all wrong here, or had it all wrong in terms of how to play their tackles, how to teach their tackles. Maybe that's it. But I gotta say, guys that I never thought would be playing much after they left here still seem to be well employed at this point.
I want to know if Green Bay coach Matt LaFleur, who of course was the Titans offense coordinator in 2018 under Mike Vrabel, if Matt LaFleur called Mike Vrabel and said, "Hey, we're looking at this guy. What can you tell me?" And if that conversation took place, was that cheeky side of Vrabel playing with him, like, "Oh, there's a lot there." I mean, because we know Vrabel likes to give guys a hard time and needle and stick it to, I don't know. That's kind of that's almost the impression I get. I assume he would be much more professional than that, but it's just hard to imagine, other than the fact that, yeah, okay, he was a first round pick. There must be something there. We'll be the ones. And to your point that, maybe the fact that Dennis Daly is still in the league and that Kendall Lamb was getting starts last year, and maybe that speaks to the terrible job the Titans coaching staff did with their offensive line the last couple of years. I don't know. I mean, it's such a hard thing to quantify, offensive line play. I do know that when Mike Munchak was their offensive line coach, their offensive lines were typically good to really good. That hasn't been the case since Vrabel, or excuse me, since Munchak was promoted to head coach in 2011. And even his best friend and Hall of Famer Bruce Matthews, couldn't measure up to Mike Munchak as a coach in that regard. So, Bill, again, Bill Callahan is a proven great offensive line coach. So maybe there's still hope for Dylan Raiden and somebody else, somebody like that. I mean, because let's face it, we've spent so much time talking about right tackle or left tackle, but right tackle is still an uncertainty right now. They found Chris Hubbard off the street late, right before the season last year. They still have to figure out that spot. Maybe it's Leroy Watson. Maybe it's Dylan Raiden's. We will see. But next up is the draft, which of course is always an exciting time. And John, I know you will be writing about it. And so as we wrap this up, Joe Alt is your prediction. That's officially.
Sticking with it. I was tempted by Mark Dominic, but I'm sticking with what's solid, what's reliable. I'll go Joe Walt.
I will predict Joe Alt too. I just don't think you can overthink this thing if you're the Titans. But whatever they do, we will be discussing it and more throughout the rest of the off season. Until next week, we thank you for listening to Believe in Titans. John Glennon, thank you.
Thank you, David.
And everybody have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.